From CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Chris Nichols. In 2021, California created a new law that required local governments to inspect homeless shelters. This followed complaints about unsanitary conditions, plus sexual harassment and even flooding at some shelters. The law also required them to file annual reports on shelter conditions, including plans to fix safety and building code violations. But 3 years later, cities and counties are largely ignoring the new law. This lack of oversight at shelters comes as California is taking a more aggressive approach to enforcing laws against camping in public spaces. Joining us to discuss is investigative reporter Lauren Hepler from the nonprofit newsroom Cal Matters, which partners with public media stations across the state, and Eve Garrow, who is a policy analyst with the ACLU of Southern California. Good afternoon, Lauren and Eve.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Good afternoon.
Lauren, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about why you decided to look into shelter conditions.
Yeah, I mean, we're at a really pivotal moment right now. I think a lot of folks probably heard about a major Supreme Court case this summer that granted cities more power to ban sleeping outside. Obviously, we know in California as a whole, street homelessness and kind of visible tents, a lot of folks anecdotally say they're seeing that more. And we know that when it comes to statistics, homelessness is up 40% in the last 5 years. We now have more than 181,000 people who are homeless in California. So that often begs the question, you know, a lot of times officials say, well, people who are on the street, you know, they're refusing offers of shelter. But I've covered this space for about 12 years now, and I've always heard from people either I can't get a shelter bed, or when you do actually get into a shelter, a lot of times you're running into really dangerous or unsanitary conditions. So we really just wanted to dig into that a bit more and understand who's supposed to be on top of this and what's maybe breaking down.
Before we dig into that completely, Lauren, give us a little bit of a background on the shelter system in California. I assume we've had shelters for decades and decades, but what's some of the history of this?
Yeah, so I mean, kind of the big picture is that what researchers call the modern era of homelessness really started around the 1980s. That followed years and years of what is called deinstitutionalization, you know, states moving away from having large mental hospitals. California used to have tens of thousands of those beds in the 50s, 60s, 70s. That went away, and that combined with, you know, gentrification in inner cities and housing costs, as a lot of folks in California can attest, really going up and up. So it was kind of this perfect storm that created the situation we have now, where, like I said, you have 181,000 unhoused people in California. And the shelters have evolved over the years. A lot of times they're referred to as congregate shelters, when you've got kind of the big open setting, like dorm type settings with bunk beds. Sometimes folks who have been in jail say it reminds them of a jail cell. And that's evolved over the years, like other folks now are hearing about kind of more temporary personalized, like tiny homes and things like that. But we're really focused here on kind of the larger shelters. The one thing that was interesting to learn, though, there was one state estimate that California is home to about 1,300 shelters as of 2021. But the state actually told me that no one keeps a list of how many shelters there are in California, where they're operating. So even though shelters are something you hear about a lot, there's actually not a lot of public information about what the system is and how it functions.
Yeah, I think that's really striking. I mean, this topic of homelessness, it's talked about by our state and local leaders just about every day. But, you know, you wrote in your article that what happens in those shelters is largely a black box, and that's despite this law that was passed in 2021. Tell us a little bit about that law and then what's not happening when it comes to these annual reports that are local governments are supposed to be filing.
Yeah, I mean, so the big takeaway is that just five of California's 58 counties and four of the state's 478 cities have filed state reports. Like, that's kind of the major takeaway for me here. Okay, the state said it was going to be getting more aggressive about, you know, holding local officials to account about their shelters. And, you know, just a handful have even followed through filing the reports. And the backstory on this law was it actually came from research that the ACLU of Southern California had done in Orange County, documented maggot infestation, sexual harassment, a lot of different kind of appalling conditions in Southern California. And an assembly member, Sharon Quirk Silva, kind of took this on. She had some personal family experience that made her interested in this issue. And in her words, this was asking for the basics. She said, we're going to try to create minimum health and safety standards. But what was interesting to hear about is the law was kind of weakened. There were some amendments late in the game. Where, you know, there were some initial requirements to have more unannounced inspections. It was going to be required to post signs in shelters that said, here's how you file a complaint. And so it seems like the system in practice is breaking down now. Like, there are some places where I've requested public records, and it's like these counties and cities are receiving complaints about their shelter, but no one's following up. No one's like reporting that to the state. So a lot of this just kind of gets lost in the gray area of this chaotic situation with homelessness that we have in the state.
So, Eve, I want to bring you in. Lauren mentioned some of the work you did in Orange County, the research you did on shelters there. Based on the research you've done, the work you've done, can you tell us how effective are shelters as a way of combating homelessness? Do they get at the root cause of the issue?
Thanks for that question. And actually, they do not get to the root of the issue. And they are not effective in helping people transition to safe, permanent, affordable housing, which we know is the, you know, solution to houselessness in California, where we have rising rents that people can no longer afford. And obviously, the most vulnerable people fall through the cracks and then become unhoused and on. Their only options are either mass shelters, which, as Lauren said, can be just dangerously unsanitary and unsafe. I want to say that California has not kept up with the rising demand for interventions like permanent supportive housing, which is permanent affordable housing with services that are available to folks who need them. And this is for the people who are most vulnerable, generally living in our streets, sometimes deteriorating in shelters. To qualify, you have to have disabilities. It's an abomination that we leave people in these dangerous and unsanitary locations and conditions. But the state's stock of permanent supportive housing has only increased by 19% since 2018, while the number of chronically houseless people, and these are people who would almost always qualify for permanent supportive housing, has almost doubled. So we see that the real solution is generally not available to people. California is losing ground, while people oftentimes are left in these mass shelters for years. I know people who are aging in these shelters, living out their so-called golden years in mass shelters because nothing else is available to them.
You know, Eve, it sort of brings up the question of if shelters are not working. You know, I know we've done a lot of reporting on how long it takes to build affordable housing. Is there an answer where, you know, our state and local governments do a better job of funding staffing and resources at the shelters? Is that sort of a way to approach this? Because, you know, as we've heard from the governor, you know, there are now orders to address homeless encampments. There is a need for a place for people to go. There's a need for them to go somewhere. So would adding staffing and more money and funding to the existing shelters be a way to go about that?
I think, as Lauren mentioned, greater accountability is is what is needed. People are often not well taken care of in these shelters, and quite frankly, sometimes abused and left to live in really miserable circumstances. I think we need to rethink our response to houselessness. People deserve dignity, and they deserve privacy, and having a disability or being low income and too poor to afford skyrocketing rent in our state should not mean that we treat people with any less dignity than you would want a family member treated. So there are other options. There are other models out there. For example, a non-congregate shelter as an interim response, as we're increasing our stock of permanent supportive housing and other forms of permanent affordable housing. And that generally looks like a long-term motel voucher, which at least gives people privacy. They can control their own space, start to get on with their lives, have their own restroom, and so forth. So we do know that those options are out there, but quite often local governments think that it's more expedient to, for example, move people to, let's say, a quote unquote safe camping spot, which can be, you know, just pitching a tent in a dirt parking lot, or opening another mass shelter in an empty warehouse, something like that.
Lauren, after you completed your investigation and found that only a handful of cities and counties across California are actually adhering to this new law to inspect and then write reports about the conditions at shelters, I'm wondering, what was the reaction of the lawmaker who actually wrote the law years ago?
Yeah, I mean, it's still a little bit to be seen, but we've heard that the lawmaker is speaking with the state agency that's in charge of implementing this. That's the Department of Housing and Community Development. The phrase that Assemblymember Sharon Quirk Silva used was looking at whether we need to add more teeth to policies like this to ensure that local officials really are relaying to the state kind of what the realities are on the ground and that they're responding to any complaints that they're getting. But I think this does come at a really pivotal moment when, like, this is not happening kind of in a vacuum with this one law that a lot of folks haven't heard of. We also got a state audit earlier this year that showed California just largely did not track the more than $20 billion it's spent on homelessness in the past few years. So I think that it goes to this bigger kind of lack of oversight. And just how people understandably get frustrated, like there's so much resources, so much energy going towards addressing homelessness. And yet what I can see around me appears to be getting worse. So I think it's really, you know, looking at the details of like what is going wrong. And that's unfortunately the work that it often seems we're missing.
Eve, we just have about a moment left. But, you know, Sacramento County and other communities, they are starting to build these I guess you would call them non-congregate shelters, tiny homes, sleeping cabins where people have individual spaces. Are conditions there any better than the larger dorm-style shelters of the past?
I think in general, you need to look very carefully at some of these programs. A space with no indoor plumbing would not be something that I would consider to be habitable. So we really strongly advocate for dignified living conditions, interim or permanent.
Right. Just because it's a new approach doesn't necessarily mean it meets humane standards. Well, Lauren and Eve, I want to thank you both very much for joining us here today.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Lauren Hepler is an investigative reporter with the nonprofit newsroom CalMatters, and Eve Garrow is a policy analyst with the ACLU of Southern California. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Chris Nichols.